Deuteronomy chapter number 13 to begin with. Deuteronomy chapter number 13. We've been spending a little bit of time on Sunday evenings talking about relationships between parents and their children, also making it applicable to the rest of the church too, and tonight's no different. We've been talking about how Satan is a fisherman of sorts, trying to deceive and trick us into biting the hooks that will destroy our lives, our Christian lives, and destroy our families' lives. And so that's the same idea here tonight. And last week we introduced the first hook, and that was rebellion. And we learned a little bit last week about how God's design of authority is universal. All of us have some type of authority. How earthly authority will never be perfect, and how even though our authority makes mistakes at times, they still are authority. Earthly authority is given for our protection, not persecution. God wants us to have that wall of protection that we talked about last week built, so that way and standing in the gap to be able to protect our homes and our families, even made that applicable to our church too. And also authority is a protective gift from God. It's something that is a gift from the Lord, not something we should run away from or something that we should buck against, but instead it's something that we should embrace. Be honest with you, no one really likes to listen to other people. Everyone in some way, shape, or form many times likes to rebel against different things. But the title of tonight's message is God's Premium on Obedience. It's still the same continuation about this rebellion and thinking about this a little bit. God in His Word has a premium. He makes it very important. And this word, obedience. I know many people think, well, this is a great message for the kids. Maybe we should sing that song, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. So when I was a kid in about fourth grade, I didn't realize I could not sing. I tried singing that for a competition. For some reason, I did not make it to the next level. I lost, you know. We had a fine arts competition at our church. I was either fourth or fifth grade, and I just tried to belt it out and try to sing, and they only sent two people from each age group. There was only two people in our age group, and somehow I still didn't make it to the next level. But I don't know how that worked out. But you know what? Obedience is not just something that's intended for children. It is something that's for adults. And tonight when we're going to look at this, it's going to be, I think, a hope and a help to all those that are willing to make it applicable to their hearts and their lives. But you say, okay, I know I'm supposed to obey authority. But there's right ways to respond to authority and wrong ways to respond to authority. And tonight we're going to look at three different things. First is God's premium for obedience. Secondly, we're going to talk about how obedience is God's place of blessing. And thirdly, obedience is doing things God's way. Not the way we think they should be done, but the way that God has designed it for us to be done. Sometimes we don't always understand why we had to do something a certain way. But you know what? It's our job to be obedient and what He's asked us to do, even sometimes when we don't understand it. Let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 13. I like this verse. I chose this verse. We could have chose from a multitude of verses about obeying and fearing the Lord. But in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 4, we're going to start off here with the first point, God's premium on obedience. It says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him." You know, like I said, this is just one of the many verses we could use. And it says here, look, we're supposed to walk after the Lord. We're supposed to fear Him. We're supposed to keep His commandments. And we're supposed to obey His voice and serve Him and cleave unto Him. I mean, it's pretty simple there. We are supposed to do what God wants us to do. We're supposed to get close to Him. We're supposed to attach ourselves to Him. We're supposed to serve Him. It's all about following after the Lord. And time again, in His Word, God commands His people to obey His voice. And for our young people in the room, you know what? Obeying your parents is sort of like a boot camp. It's learning how to be obedient. So that way, you'll learn how to be obedient to the Lord someday. If you struggle today with obeying your parents, more than likely someday in the future, you're going to struggle with obeying God. If you learn how to obey now to an authority, it's going to be much easier to be obedient to the authorities in your life afterwards. This is key. This is clear. It's found in the scriptures. And it's important that we understand. That's why God tells us to obey your parents. Are your parents perfect? No. Last week we learned about that. We learned that Samuel did wrong. Earthly authority is going to make mistakes. But you cannot use excuses why somebody else does not do what they're supposed to do all the time as a reason why you should not have to serve the Lord. You see, obedience is essential to our Christian life. Think about it. From Adam and Eve all the way up till now, obedience is important. Adam and Eve disobeyed, and what happened? We're all paying for that disobedience today, and they were punished. Abraham obeyed by leaving the land, and God blessed him. Abraham obeyed by willing to sacrifice his son, and God blesses him. Abraham disobeys, and Abraham becomes punished. You think about it. Jonah disobeyed God, and it took a few days in the midst of a whale of a belly, but it's the belly of the whale. And it is sitting in that gastrointestinal distress to figure out, hey, I need to change something here and I need to obey God. In a little while, we're going to look at the story of Saul and how he disobeyed and by sacrificing against God's command, and even about how he did not do what God had told him to do. Peter obeyed. He got out of the boat. God blessed him. You know, Paul obeyed by fulfilling God's command. God blesses him. Over and over, there are stories of billions of people. And each and every case, the person that is able to make the simple choice of either being obedient or disobedient. God has it pretty much laid out for you. It is a story of, you know what, we need to obey. Isn't it amazing that we read these stories in the Bible, we see when people disobey God, they get punished or they have to pay some type of price, but we think we're smarter than Jonah. We think we're smarter than all those other Bible characters like Adam and Eve and all those other ones that messed up. We think we're going to get away with it. We think we're going to get over on God. We think that because the situation is different, the circumstance is different, somehow we are going to beat the system. You know what? That is one of the hooks the devil's trying to dress up to you. You're a little bit smarter. They didn't have the same parents, or they don't have the same authority. They don't live in the same time period. They don't. You know what? The devil takes that and he makes the worm look really good, and people get chomped down on it. I can get away with it. I'm not like them. When people like look at Lot and the story of Lot and say, well, that will never happen to me. That will never happen to my family. They believe these things. And it's important. Key is that obedience is important. This obedience thing is about you and God. No one else. It's just about the two of you. When you resist authority, you're resisting God. And in your life, you will either obey him and reap the benefits or disobey him and reap the problems. It is very simple. It is central to your walk with the Lord. And every decision, every choice, you're either obeying God or disobeying God and his direction for your life. If you struggle with mom and dad, you're most likely going to struggle the rest of your life obeying God. In the end, you're going to miss out on unbelievable blessings. Now, it's easy to focus on the kids and beat them over the head about it. But in all reality, this goes for adults too. We've heard the saying, monkey see, monkey do. Maybe a little bit better or appropriate way to say it, like father, like son. And we need to be careful as parents. And I know I try to be, I'm a little bit tough on my sons. And I try to be, you know, as God-fearing and try to be an example to them. But I want them to obey. And I want them to obey when I tell them to obey. And I want them to have the right attitude. And that's the way I expect it. But I remember the first time if the Lord brought it to my heart or mine, or if I read it or just studying, you know, God told me, he said to me, he says, do you obey me that way? You know, I expect my children to do this, this, and this. And then he says, are you giving them example by obeying me? This, this, and this. And it just kind of put a whole new light on things that is, I know when they're young people and they're children, they're thinking, yes, they're supposed to be obedient. Yes, they're not supposed to question. But what about our relationships with God? Are we obedient the same way that we're expecting our children to be obedient? Why should our child obey if you aren't obeying God? Now, young people, this is not an excuse. I know mom and dad's not perfect. Well, we already know that. You're not either, so don't. It does not give you a reason to say, well, I don't have to listen because my parents don't listen. Remember, obedience is between you and God, and how you're going to respond to it is important. But God's expectations for you are no less than his expectations for your young person, too. So I'm just trying to be direct, just trying to be open and trying to be honest. We all desire our young people to be obedient, whether you're a parent or just a friend or a mentor, or whether you're an aunt or uncle. But if obedience is essential of Christian life, how is our obedience to God the Father? Let's, for a second, take a look at our own hearts and review our own hearts and say, am I obeying God the way that I think and expect other young people to obey God? Because when we have a class setting, we want our kids to listen. We want them to sit up, we want them to sit straight, and we want them to sit quietly. But are we listening to God the same way? Now, disobedience, parents, it's hard for them to see and expect obedient children when the children don't see their parents being obedient. So we need to be careful with this. And perhaps, you know, like I said, perhaps people are struggling. Perhaps you have a disobedient child in your house, and it's not because you're struggling, but it's the truth of it is, are we being obedient? And let's translate that. We want our children to grow and learn. They need to see it from us. We have leadership requirements at our church. If you want to be a Sunday school teacher, Sunday school helper, you know what you have to do? You have to come to church a certain amount of times. You need to come to church. Why is that? Because you need to show them and teach young people. If we think church is important, we think Sunday school is important, Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, Wednesday night. If we think those things are important, don't we have to leave that as an example? Now, I know the argument of being providentially hindered. I get that, and we know all that and understand that there are different times and different opportunities, but we need to put a premium on obedience, not just for the people that are under 18 or under 21, but in our own hearts, in our own lives. Are we being faithful when it comes to tithing? Are we obeying God's word at church attendance? Are we obeying God's word when it comes to our own music, our own TV watching, our own service? And I know we all have heard of people, or maybe even had a parent herself that says, I better never see you smoke while they were smoking a cigarette, or I better never see you drink while they were had a can of Budweiser in their hands, and things like that. And I'm not saying that it is the child's child turns out and child's obedience according to God, and that's their relationship, but are they seeing a good pattern in their home? God places a obedience, premium of obedience. And I've seen too often when parents are not willing to live for the Lord, you know what they do? They become passive. They say, well, then I'm just not going to make my kids listen. That's not what we want to do. We want to embrace in this fight, and we want to jump into this fight. We want to jump into this battle, and we want to fight for our young people, and we want to do what's right, and we want to stand up for right. We want to stand in the gap. We want to build that wall of protection. But it all begins with us being obedient also. And we need to follow through with that. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be direct. And I'm not suggesting that only reasons why teens rebel is because their parents do. And I'm not excusing any disobedience for a parent's reason. We already talked about that. But I am trying to tell us if we really, truly want to help our young people through this area of rebellion, which they will come across and which they will face, and they will not want to always obey. They will not always want to do what they're told. How are we going to help them through if we are not having an obedient heart toward our Heavenly Father? Our own spiritual obedience will speak much louder, much longer, and more effectively than our commands and our verbal confrontations and even our physical confrontations. If they see that we have a heart to obey God, it is so much easier for them to talk about obeying God from the heart too. I like the story of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, they're trying to get the people encouraged, and he's trying to encourage Joshua in this, and he talks about being strong and being courageous. And there was a response that the people had said to Joshua. Now, Joshua, I think, you know, the Bible doesn't say it, but I think he's a little timid here. He's getting ready to take this huge nation, take over from the spot of Moses. I mean, would you really want to follow after Moses, the man who saw God face to face, the man who had walked with God all those years in this, taking all those people across that? Moses had done quite a bit of stuff. You wouldn't want to follow after him. I think Joshua is a little timid because in Joshua chapter 1, it's told over and over, be thou strong and courageous. Well, in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 16 through 18, it says, and they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, you know what they're saying? Joshua, we're going to listen to you. We're going to obey you. We're going to follow you the same way we followed Moses. And if there's somebody who wants to rebel against you, we're going to take him outside the camp and we're going to kill him. And the reason why is because we're putting a premium of obedience. But he's saying, look, Joshua, only be thou strong and courageous. I think what this people was saying, look, as long as you're being strong, as long as you're being courageous, as long as you're following after God, we are going to obey you. We are on that path with you. We want to head down to the promised land. We want to be blessed by God. Now go out, be strong, be courageous, just like Moses was, and we'll follow after you. And I know it doesn't work in every home. I know it doesn't work in every family. But I know that if we have a heart of obedience toward God and you want to be strong and courageous and try to lead your families into the blessings of God, it begins with a parent that has that. But also a child must follow and have that same type of attitude. We need to learn to follow the Lord and also expect that from our children. The second thing is obedience is the place of God's blessings. Take your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, just a page or two back. And, you know, I think this puts it the best. You've heard me talk about these verses before, and it's just plain and simple. Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. If you're going to be rebellious, if you're going to be disobedient, you know what you're going to have is you're going to have a hard way to go. If you, as a child, don't learn that you're supposed to obey and you're supposed to learn, you know, as parents, if you have a good parent that cares about your child, they're going to continue to do what they can to try to bring you into a place that you understand obedience is a premium to God. Now, I think sometimes we think that parents, they just want to have their, they have fun by making up rules, but that's not the case at all. You know why parents are commanded to obey God? It's because that's the place where God blesses them. You know why parents try to get their child to obey them? It's because that is the place where God will bless them. You know, the Bible talks about obeying the Lord and how there's benefits to obeying your parents and how there's benefits when you obey your parents. You're going to be in the direct path of God's best blessings for you. So when your parent says, you need to listen to me, it's not because they're some type of control freak. It's not because of the fact that they're trying to take away your fun. They're trying to put you in a spot where you can be blessed by God, because you're not going to be blessed by God if you're not being obedient to God and if you're not being obedient to your parent, because God has given you a parent authority. So what they're trying to do is trying to put you to the spot and says, I want God to bless you. I want God to bless your life. Now, please listen. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. There's a choice here. You can have a blessing or a curse. And what's the obvious answer? What do we want? We want a blessing, don't we? No one is really looking for a curse. But it says in verse 27, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, and to go after other gods which ye have not known. It is simple. God says, look, if you want to be blessed by him, and be honest with you, you want to be blessed by God. You don't want to worry about being blessed by your friends as much, or be worried about being blessed by something or someone else. You want God's blessing on your life. And that's what we heard about this morning. We have an amazing God. You know, Joseph, even though it didn't look like it, Joseph was being prepared all those years. And I believe it was probably like 13 years while being in the pits and being in the prisons and being in slavery. He was being prepared. He was being blessed by God. And he got to the moment where he was able to be used by God to feed the whole world and be able to be shining as a light to the entire world. It's because he learned how to be obedient. He understood the premium of obedience. And this is where we want to be. Don't you want to be blessed by God? I mean, I want to be blessed by God. I want to be used by God. I want God's blessing. I want God's power on my life. We had to crave that. How do we get that? We get that when we're obedient. The reasons why parents discipline you, or your teachers lecture you, or your pastor rebukes you, it's because they want you to be found in the place where God can bless your life. And, you know, the Bible speaks of that, but how often do we think we just know better? We know more. We're going to get past it. We're going to get over it. We're going to beat God at this. No, it's simply put. If you want God's blessing, be obedient. If you don't want God's blessing, then you're going to, if you want a curse, then be disobedient. Nobody wants a curse. Then are we being obedient? Last but not least, obedience is doing things God's way. Take your Bible now to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Many of you will recognize this story, But in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, God through Samuel has told Saul that he is supposed to kill all the Amalekites and kill all the animals. Saul comes home and he's king and he comes and he tells Samuel, I think he's sincere about it. He tells Samuel, hey, look, I've done everything God's told me to do. And Samuel says, I don't think so. Samuel in this story corrects Saul and helps Saul to understand that obedience is not doing what you think is best. Obedience is understanding God's word and then obeying God's word. So many times people think, hey, kids might think I can obey my parents when I think that they're right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor your parents. The Bible says, obey your parents. Sometimes we think, I can obey the authority in my life when they're right. You know, that's not what the Bible says. Let's look what it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's look at verses 13 through 23. We're going to look at some different things about how Samuel has to confront Saul and how Saul no longer is in the place where God can bless him, but instead is in a place where he's receiving a curse. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now the Lord's commandment was that he should go to the Amalekites, and that the Amalekites should, he should put them all to death. He should put all their animals to death. No one should survive. Verse 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and lowing of the oxen which I hear? So Samuel saying, look, if you did what you were supposed to do, why am I hearing these animals? Verse 15, Saul does something that lots of people like to do. They like to blame other people why they could not obey God. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. And look, I had this word underlined in the Bible. For the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He's saying, okay, the people, they went and did this without even asking, and now Saul is king. Saul, people have to listen to Saul. And he could have said, those animals are supposed to die. They would never question it. They would have just put them to death. But what do? They do what they think is best. And when they realize and they're confronted about it, and Samuel comes up to him and says, now you say you're doing what you're supposed to do, then why can I hear the bleating of the sheep? He says, well, it's the people's fault. No, it's not the people's fault. Remember, it's a personal relationship between you and God. And stop blaming other people for your lack of obedience. Stop blaming other people for disobedience in your life. And Saul here, he honestly believes at the end of verse number 13, he says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You know what he did? He performed what he thought God should have wanted. He couldn't understand why God didn't want to save this king. And that's, he also saves the king. He saves these animals. He couldn't understand why God wouldn't want these sheep so he could sacrifice these sheep and he could perform a great sacrifice for God. He couldn't understand why doing something that was a little bit less obedient, it could do something good in the end. But in all reality, when we get to our obedience, we got to learn this. God does not need our help. God needs us to be obedient so he can use us. We don't have to tell God a thing or two and say, God, well, I think we should do this, so I'm not going to be all the way obedient. Instead, I'm going to do this a little bit better because I think this is what's right. I think this is what's best for us. So I'm going to listen to you most of the way, but over here, I'm just going to do the things the way I want with maybe my money or maybe with my time or maybe with my talents. Now, I know what you say, God, but over here, I'm just going to do this myself. This is where young people lots of times get in trouble is they obey God most of the way. Or they obey their parents most of the way. But in this little area, they don't know what they're talking about. In the end, I'm going to be able to do better with this. God does not need our leftovers or our lack of obedience to do something special with. God will take our obedience and make something special out of it. Let's keep on going here. And as you look at the story, we need to not blame others for not obeying, but also we need to obey God completely. Verse 16, and then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on, say on. So Samuel says, do you want to hear what God has to say about it? Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Now, I love this verse because he's saying, look, when you were at a spot where you didn't think you were worthy, God lifted you up. God blessed you to get to this spot. You were in a place of blessing. And in verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey. And said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Now here's the thing is, he was in the place of blessing. He disobeys God. Now he followed God 95% of it. 95% of it. There was only one man that was left, was the king. There was only a little bit of group of the animals that was left. But at 95% obedience is still disobedience. And that's what he's saying. It's not the place of blessing. Saul loses his kingdom. He loses his kingdom for his sons. And he loses it. Why? Because God puts a premium on obedience. Let's keep on going. He says in verse number 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, now once again, he's still arguing, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone in the way which the Lord sent me and brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He's still not getting it. He still has in his mind, I have obeyed you. I have done the things that you told me to do. I did listen to you. You ever heard that as a parent? I know I've heard that. I did listen to you. I did do the things. No, you didn't listen to the instructions. You did what you thought I said, but you didn't listen to what the Bible said. And once again, it's easy because as a parent to say, you know, that's what my kids tell me all the time. But how about our own lives? How often do we listen to what we think God wants for us instead of doing exactly what God tells us to do? It's important that we find out what the Bible says and be obedient to it. Let's keep on going here. And once again, verse number 21. But the people. He blames the people again. You ever said, well, my brother made me do it, or my sister made me do it, or my friend made me do it? No. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He's saying, look, God, you really didn't know what you're talking about. The people had this brilliant idea. Let's disobey God and then let's take of these best of the animals and so we can use it as a sacrifice. Wouldn't that make God happy? Isn't that what God would want? You know, it's just, there's so much that we can bring there. People say, well, this is going to please God. God didn't know what he was talking about over there. Let's bring the world's music into this. Let's bring something else into this and let's change this around because that way we can do something right and do something good. Who cares if we don't obey all the way? And it's important. God puts a premium. Obedience is doing things God's way. Let's keep on going down here. And it says in verse number 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He says, you know, he's saying, look, your sacrifices, they're not what God wants. Look at that next phrase. Most of us would know this by heart. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, God is saying, I want your obedience. More than some tainted, dirty sacrifice of disobedience. I want your obedience. Now, this next phrase, most of us would not put it this way, but God does. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, if we were in Saul's spot, and we saw what Saul did, you know what we would say? We'd sit there and look at Saul and say, you know what? Saul did a good job. He did all these things. What's the big deal? He just messed up a little bit. Why is it really that big of a deal that he brought the king home so he could parade him all around and so that way they could kill him at another time? Why is it a big deal that they brought these animals around? They're going to give them to God anyway. But what does God say? God says that his sin, even though it's maybe 95% obedience, his sin here, he says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He's saying, for you to do that is just as wicked as you to be messing around with witchcraft or the things of the devil. See, we wouldn't say it that way. We would look at Saul and say, you know what? He's a pretty good Christian. Someone who's messing around with things that are satanic, oh, they're wicked. We need to stay away from them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. You know, but he puts the same thing on the same comparisons. They're just as wrong and just as bad. And we need to be careful here when we think about this. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What are we doing in our lives? Are we being obedient? I mean, when God puts it that way, when you halfway obey, he's saying it's just as bad as the sin of witchcraft. Does that mean that you should go out and start practicing the sin of witchcraft? No. That means that we need to put a premium on obedience. We need to obey God, and we need to learn to listen to God and God's way. We don't need to do things halfway. Instead, we need to do things the way that God makes it. And so that's the last thought, is obedience is a really big deal. You know, when someone that is an authority, when a parent or someone that God has put as authority in our lives, we need to learn how to obey. We need to learn how to respond. God puts a premium on this. It begins with our obedience to God. I get that. Young people probably would never ever question whether or not they're going to obey God. They would just do it or not do it. But they begin to think that they have a right to start questioning the authorities in their life. And, oh, I'm going to listen most of the time. The Bible says that's just as bad as witchcraft. Let's be careful there. Let's be open and honest with ourselves tonight. Take a good look at our heart. Am I obeying God the way I expect other people to obey God? Or the way I expect my child to obey God? Or the way I expect the children of our church to obey God? I think that's very convicting. I know that's convicting to my heart. And it still convicts me every time I think of it. I want my children, I want the young people here. You know, tonight when we have our afterglow and we're going to talk a little bit about, especially to those that are new, the seventh graders coming up and some new people, these are some of the guidelines of the church that we have for a teen activity. Why do we do that? It's because we try to have a wall of protection there, because we want to stand in the gap. We don't want the world to get into our church. We want the world to get into our youth group and things like that. You know what I expect when we give rules and guidelines out? I expect it to be followed. Why is that? Because that's what they're supposed to do. But at the same time, in the same moment, am I following God in my own life? Because I need to give them an example of what an obedient heart is to God. So I can come and say, look, I want you to be in a place where God can bless you, where God can use you. And I want to have an obedient heart to God. And I want you to have an obedient heart to God and the authority that God's given in your life. Tonight, hopefully you got something out of this, that God gives a premium on obedience. Are you obeying him tonight? Take a nice long look in your heart. Am I truly obeying God? Am I at a place where God can bless me? Am I obeying God by doing things his way? Am I not blaming it on other people? I'm not. I'm seeing that obedience is a big deal. It's not something that's little. I'm not doing it half the way. I'm doing it all the way. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.